Blog Talk Radio.
Well, this is Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. I'm Russ Johnson, and it's like the 11:30 in the morning, March 25th, 2023. And here we are, still on planet Earth and trying to get something done. Now, I'll talk about a lot of people who are getting things done, like Stephen Greer. He's beginning to do a lot of things all across the world. But what a magnificent program that he's putting together for June 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th in Washington, D.C. at the National Press Club. Can you believe that? That's going to be an awesome, awesome event.
So that was one of the things that I found fascinating in reading your book was that, one was the healing that Jen experienced through your QHHT sessions where, she no longer had the tumor and no longer needed the medication. So right there's validation, proof that it really does work and that what she was bringing up was real. And you also had these other clients having very similar experiences that you describe in the book. So, yeah, that's another form of validation. And it kind of makes me kind of, raise this thing. I remember reading several years ago Robert Munro's out-of-body experiences. He wrote, I think it was a three-volume set of books. He runs the Munro Institute in Virginia. And he said that typically what happens is that a soul does not choose to incarnate as just a single individual. It's typically you have group souls, it's a group, that you're part of a group, and that you come to a place like Earth to learn lessons, but it's not necessarily as an individual, you come as a group. So I'm wondering if Jen and you and the others that you interviewed were kind of like a group of souls that chose to incarnate in Atlantis or Lemuria to go through those experiences and then recall them much later, like today.
Uh-huh. That's Dr. Michael Seller, and he's a prolific heck of a researcher in terms of looking at all the UFO matters and the economic, political, social nuances of this whole thing. As a matter of fact, he does a podcast, Dr. Michael Salla. I'm recommending him big time for people who don't know who he is, but I'll come back to that later. Good morning. We have Sally Barnhart, me, Zena, is with us, and I really appreciate her being here. Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, thank you, Russ. And how are you doing today?
Good. Still here.
Yes.
Trying to get something.
I loved your last listener with what he was discussing just now. It's very interesting.
Go ahead, talk about that. What did you get from that he was talking about?
Yeah, well, he was basically what I was getting because he was talking, and I had read the book that he had mentioned, actually, that we come down in soul groups, which is what I do truly believe this. And we do kind of stay with the people. Well, not everybody incarnates at the same time in our soul, with our soul people, so to speak, up there. But I do believe that we do come down with many people that we have known in groups. And we kind of find each other here. I know that I have, and I also feel with it recently, especially with the last year or two, I have met several people that I believe that I have known in previous lives that I've had other lives with. So what he was explaining, I am a big believer of that.
Yeah, but you were here before. You say that you remember being here some thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. Talk about that. People don't know who you are, and I'm introducing you for the first time here on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
So talk about that.
Right. Well, I believe that we've been back many, many times, and my memory goes back. I can't tell you that I remember everything, of course, from thousands of years ago, but I've had a lot of validation that I was around at that time through I had a guide here for 18 years who came in. He just passed away a year and a half ago and was with me for the last 18 years teaching and helping me so much because the experience that I had, and it goes back to that time, so I'll get to that in a second, is that I got many messages, and one of my messages was to go and start drawing, to get some paper and draw. So from, it was a message in a dream, but it was more than a dream because I was astral projecting, and I also, I believe now, I'm absolutely certain that I was abducted many times. And this was one of the messages, and I started to crayon, but I wasn't just crayoning from, I was crayoning and drawing at that point from many, many centuries ago. I had never drawn anything in my life, but I'm starting to draw rocket ships. I have no idea why, but luckily I did have my mentor here who was explaining things to me. So part of, I'm going to say, my memory came back through my artwork, and then he would never tell me until I asked him questions, and I said, this is, seems like a rocket ship, and he remembered many, many lives. So he was explaining to me what had happened, and I began to realize I was around at that time, so to speak. It's a long time ago, but I it comes forth in my artwork.
Mm-hmm. So you were around when the Anunnaki came here some hundreds of thousands
Correct.
Of years ago?
Yes, I do believe that, right. They came from, for the viewers that may be listening that may not know the story, although it has been pretty out there. There are tablets in London where they explain this, but so many people just don't understand or believe it. But they came down to Earth, the Anunnaki, from a planet called Nibiru thousands and thousands of years ago, and they came to Earth because they actually needed, for their planet, they needed gold. We were relatively very few people on this planet at that time, so they came here to mine gold, actually. That's how it started. And they stayed here, and I believe even till today, there's still, not everybody, but many of the ancestors are still around today, all these thousands and thousands of years later. So that was the very beginning of the story.
I think Zachariah Sitchin's talks about that in the 12th planet. Is that what he talks about?
12th planet, yes, he does. He does, Russ. And I actually, my mentor, when he first met me and he realized that I was actually recalling certain things through my artwork, he recommended at that time, and I'm going back 18 years ago, to read. And I my memory was not intact with this, but it was coming through with my drawings, that I should read Zachariah Sitchin and also David Icke, who they both talked extensively about what we're discussing right now. And I was drawing a lot of what Zachariah was actually talking about, and I didn't know. I'm just drawing from my mind these things. So to me, I listened because I was very aware that something was happening to me, that I was recalling these some of the things. And I had many, many encounters, actually. Some were astral projection, and as I had mentioned, I also believe and I know today that I was abducted many times, too.
You have a website. What is that website?
My website is actually, because my art is on there, I'm in the process of doing two things, of writing a book and then redoing my website. But for people that might want to just look right now before it's finished, I'm going to continue doing my website. But it's called artbysallybernard.com.
Okay. And you do have a book?
Yes, I have a book that's coming out, too. I have one out, but I'm redoing the book. It's called Call Me Zena. My last name is spelled Barnard, so it's Sally Bernard. And my book will be out in a couple of months called Call Me Zena.
Uh-huh. But Call Me Zena, the book that you have, I did get a copy not too long ago, maybe, what, two or three weeks ago. I went to Amazon and kind of got a copy of that book.
They keep telling everybody at the moment that it's sold out, but because I'm redoing the book. But my first book, the one that you have, is all about my travels. I went to several different planets. So if people are interested in the story, they will, if they persevere, they will eventually get the book. But in 2 months, it will be much easier. It will be everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Now, they say that there are a lot of people who are being abducted. How
right.
But yet they also say, as I read Communion and Dr. I'm thinking his name was Temple University professor. But anyway, they also say that your mind is being erased at the same time for most people.
I do agree with that.
Is it right? You agree that your mind is being, when they abduct you, your mind is being erased. Why?
I think for several reasons. I know that I was remembering because it was coming to me in dreams very vividly, but some of that was, I didn't know about astral projection at that time, but I was visualizing, I saw where I was going. But I believe a lot of my abductions was erased from me, but you know, they may do, that's good, and I'm going to say good and bad, because there's, you know, if you don't remember, it's scary if you don't know what's going on with you. I never, ever, as far as I can remember, have had a bad abduction. But, you know, you do hear stories, and as anything else, there's good and bad with everything. So my memory is breaking through today because I'm wanting to remember. I'm also going to be hypnotized, so hopefully that will help me more too. But for anyone that's had this experience or feel that they have, I actually am going to do what I'm telling, maybe the best thing to do is to be hypnotized by someone that is familiar with this, not just maybe any hypnotist, because they might not understand.
Yeah, but people saying you have to be cautious. Number one, what spaceship you get on, that's one. Two, mm-hmm. The person you choose to hypnotize you, you don't know who that person is, right? Now, let me do this. I see that we have with us Jillian Green. Jillian, good morning. How are you this morning? Ms. Green?
Oh, good morning, Russell. I thought my phone was muted.
No. You live and on the air. So let me introduce you to this is Jillian Green. And Sally, you've heard of programs many times, right?
Yes, I have. Good morning, Jillian. It's nice to meet you, even if it's just on blog radio right now.
Good morning.
And both of you are from England, I think. So, anyway, and it's interesting that both of you are clairvoyant. I think intuitive.
If I can just say something, a comment,
sure,
on what I was,
sure,
saying, because I've only just connected and heard a little bit about hypnosis.
Okay.
And I have to say, Sally, that I would,
yes,
putting it out as a public statement, I would definitely say to people, do not get hypnotized.
Oh,
unless,
okay,
you absolutely know the hypnotist. And you, mm-hmm, also yourself are perfectly well balanced mentally. If you have any tendency to emotional upset of any kind, the last thing you want to do is open up a can of worms that you probably don't know how to deal with. So I would say that before anybody gets hypnotized with regard to abductions and those kinds of things, that they really,
right,
need to do some basic learning groundwork about metaphysics in general, about going out of body, about all these basic,
right,
things to control,
mm-hmm,
the psyche, because otherwise they can get extremely mentally disturbed by the things which are opened up to them if by chance they had a bad abduction. But the fact
thank you so much.
Go on.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
what I want to say is that I
appreciate you saying that, because I have not been hypnotized, but I know for myself I will go ahead. But I'm very, very glad that you put that out there, because obviously you go with caution.
Yes, and you have experience as a clairvoyant, and you know about abductions. You know what it is that you're looking for,
right,
in the hypnotic,
right,
state, that anybody who has no idea what they're looking for could be frightened to death if they had a bad abduction. But the reality is that since, let me think when it was way, way back in the 90s, maybe 90, early part of 98, or maybe even before that most of the aliens on this planet who were doing the abductions that were considered bad abductions, in other words, the ones,
mm-hmm,
that were doing horrible things to you, most,
mm-hmm,
of those aliens left the planet. In fact, I think it was as far back as 91, but certainly since the end of 98, very few of those kind of abductions have actually taken place on this planet because, as I say, most of that particular group of aliens have left. They've long
gone. And that's really very interesting to me because my abduction started in 2008. And as far as I know and can remember, I have not had a bad abduction. I mean, I had documented many abductions. I know you missed the beginning
of the show. If your abductions only began in 2008, then all you've had is abductions which have taken you to some other place, presumably for informational purposes, to give you information. And that's not the same thing at all as most people experience when they've had a bad abduction. And as I say, those are a long time ago.
You certainly clarified that for me, too, because basically most of my abductions was actually going to different planets. They were just showing me around and showing me some of the things that were here. I actually said that because I do have a show also every Monday, and I always say this, that my abductions have been okay. They've been fine. I've never had a problem.
Well, I wouldn't even call those abductions because you weren't actually an innocent person being who knew nothing being abducted. Rather, you were somebody, as you might say, in the business, being given a learning opportunity by your friends, and that's a quite different thing.
You really have helped me. Thank you, Gillian. That's perfect because I mean, I was on the spacecraft. I remember all these things, but they were talking to me like I was a very good friend of theirs. Yes, thank you so much. You cleared up a lot for me. Absolutely. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Sally, you had a coach. Can you take a few minutes and talk, tell Gillian about your coach and why he met you?
Yes, I can, Gillian. I had someone, his name was Aldo. He was with me for 18 years. I actually had known him. I hadn't known him, but we were working in the same place for about a year, but we'd never had a chance to actually talk to each other. And how this actually started for me is I went to bed one night not knowing anything about any of this. And I had what I now know, but at that time I didn't, a very vivid dream. And in that dream, I was like flying, which I had no idea what was happening to me. And then I woke up, and as I was going to work that day, it was about 7 o'clock in the morning, I see the lights, I see all sorts of things, wondering what in the world had just happened to me. I walk into my place of work, and it was Aldo, but I didn't know him at the time, comes up to me. He's standing behind me as I'm getting my first cup of coffee, and his words were to me, "I know where you were last night." So I turned around. I'm still not completely here at that point. I said, "How in the world do you know? I don't even know where I was." But then he proceeded to tell me every single thing that I had remembered from the night before within my, quote, so-called dream. He explained to me that what was happening, but in a very easy way for me to understand because I couldn't understand what he was talking about, that he was in my dream. And then from then onwards, he said to me, "We'll go very little by little. I'll explain in time over the period," it actually was 18 years, of what he knew, what had happened to me. And he coached me for 18 years until he passed. He was my mentor, my best friend. He was everything to me at that point. And all along the way, I started to draw. He would interpret my drawings. I didn't understand that, but I was beginning to understand much more from him. And today, he still talks to me, but not in the same way because he's in spirit. So he knew everything. He came in at the age, he was from Peru, but at the age of one, he was reading newspapers. He recalled his lives, many of them that were important, obviously, only for this particular lifetime. And that's how I got a lot of my information.
What do you think why did he come to you? What does he want you to do? What was the purpose of being with you for 18 years is a long time?
Well, his words were to me, right? That he wanted, his anonymity was very important. He came here to help me. He told me that he had looked for me in this lifetime, but would never have approached me until I was ready. So he knew that I was beginning to understand. And his words all through the time that he was talking to me, he only wanted to coach me, and he wanted me to be his mouthpiece. And shortly before he passed, because I do believe he knew when he was going to pass, He said those very words to me again, which was a year and a half ago. So I'm very, he's very dear, and, you know, I've learned a lot from that. So that's what I'm intending to do, carry on what he has told me.
So, Jillian, that's her story, that she's, that he, her coach wanted her after 18 years to continue and carry the message. How do you view that, if you will, Jillian?
How do you do what?
How do you view that?
How do you carry the message?
I'm saying...
Word out, basically, Jillian.
Let me do this. Sally, Jillian's husband, George Green, was here for 40, 50,
yes.
60 years in research. And by the way, if you ever want to sit, hear him or talk to him, you can always Google him and go to, you know, YouTube.
Right.
And you can always look at his website that he left, which is No Hoax, H-O-A-X. That's a lot of information. And Jillian has written three books. One is ETA. The other one is Return of the Anunnaki. And the other one is what? What is the other one, Jillian? I have it.
Chalice of the Dove, and Return of the Anunnaki, just different ones, by the same meditation. But
authors.
What you're suggesting, I know what you're going to suggest, George, and I about George. I am not really anything to do with his work, and never was, except that I was doing the same kind of work all my life, but coming at it from a different angle. My late husband's original angle was political, right? Entirely political. And when he'd been doing that for 20 years, he was on the lecture circuit, and he'd been going around lecturing the political situation for about 20 years. Then he was contacted by, have you heard of Billy Meyer? You know Billy Meyer, the Billy Meyers. He's the most famous man with UFOs ever, right? And he's in Switzerland. And George visited with him and was introduced to a couple of so-called Pleiadians, Semyasi and Quetzal, who were the ones who poured out the Billy Meyer contact material for 20-odd years, right? And George just really got involved with them, and they got him to write two or three books on their behalf and publish them and so on. So he got very involved with the Pleiadians, which I totally want to disassociate myself with, because they were liars. I mean, they were not extraterrestrials. They were not Pleiadians, but they are involved with the Pleiadians, with the Germans and the reptilians under Antarctica. And they were claiming, these two people, Semyasi and Quetzal, who admitted that they were the ones who gave all the information, were actually, one I think was from Poland and the other from somewhere else in Central Europe. And although they worked with the Pleiadians, they were going around the planet claiming to be Pleiadian. And that's a plain lie. They were just liars. They were liars about where they were coming from and about who they were. And so as soon as you find evidence of somebody telling a lie, then you have to question everything that they're saying.
Right.
And so my dear husband had got hooked up with them before the information came out that they were liars, right? And so he'd already left the planet. He'd already died before that came to light, which is unfortunate, because he would have spent the next 10 years going around telling everybody, don't believe any of the stuff I told you about the Pleiadians, right? Because it was, you can't trust it. So this is what I'm saying about when you go out and start speaking to the public, you really have to be sure of the facts of what you're saying, not just the story interest or the possibilities or probabilities, but where possible, I find it necessary, and I'm sure you do, to actually fact-check everything that is possible. It's the story of as above, so below, you know? If it's here, it's there, and if it's there, it's here. And so somewhere there is almost always empirical evidence extant on the planet that you can use to back up what you're telling people.
Yeah, back up. Right, I follow you too.
Well, Sally, let me interrupt this a bit. Sally's, could you talk more about your coach? Who do you think he was? Was he an alien who took over a human body? Was he born here? A little more so she understands who
he. He never really claimed to be. He was just here to teach me. He knew an awful lot. The only things that he did make reference to was that he had, and as you had on your first show, Gentlemen from Below the Earth, he had told me that he had lived there in many lifetimes, but he never went into detail because maybe he also thought at that time I wasn't ready, that he'd come on the Earth's surface. He had also been, which I do believe, obviously he had come down from another planet, but had the majority, as far as I know, of his lifetimes, let's say over the last 10 or 12 lifetimes, were from here, definitely from Earth itself, because he had told me many of the things that he had experienced here in other lifetimes from Earth.
Uh-huh.
He also told me that he knew me from the 15th century, which to me was very interesting because it was the Renaissance period, and I was drawing extensively from the Renaissance period, putting buildings and places and people into my artwork, not knowing what it was. But then he did tell me that I was in that lifetime with him, and I was drawing from there. So for me, it was complete validation. He was able to interpret my artwork. He didn't tell me, go draw this or go draw that. It was coming from me that I was doing the drawings. He then did the interpretations afterwards. So I only can talk for myself. It was tremendous validation for me. Anything that I seemed to ask him or if I had read something that he might have told me to go read, he was always able to give me the explanation of what I was reading, which was either in the book or what I felt for myself that I could feel it. So, again, this was my own personal experience with someone, but
right.
It was a great help. And understanding many, many things. You know, I don't think a day went by in those 18 years that he didn't contact me somehow, even if I was somewhere and maybe my car, just to give you an insight into him, perhaps my car had broken down. I get a phone call. I know where you are. I'm coming to pick you up. So he was able to do many, many things. He never went public with it, but he told me he wanted his anonymity, but he was quite a person, actually, amazing person.
Yes. Yeah. Sounds as if you were very fortunate in having a really good teacher for a very long time on this planet, and that is quite unusual. You were lucky.
I was. And he only, just to let you know, that he only, as I had said before, but this was very important to me. Had I have not had that very first experience, I might have gone through this lifetime, even though he might have been in the same room as me as work, never approached me on this. He waited for me. He never pushed me into anything. He waited for me to ask him. And to me, that was complete and absolute validation for myself, as you can see probably, Joanne.
Yeah, he was from Peru, and what was his role, his family in Peru, that you said that they were upper echelon?
He actually, I believe that his father and uncle were in pretty high up, as far as I know, at one point in the government, which he didn't really want a whole lot to do with that, but he ended up his living with his mother, and actually his mother was, he had the choice to be living in luxury or poverty. At that point, at 10, 11 years old, he chose the latter. He chose poverty. Money never really meant much to him. Even when I knew him here and he came to Florida, he did a lot of good work, but he didn't make it known. This was his character. He always used to say, when he would tell me things, I would say, you know so much. He said, no, you probably know more than me, type of thing. He very little ego, which was great. But basically, was his story.
Let me do this. Listen, it's 12 o'clock, and I told Nate that I would tap into his program.
Joining conference now.
And just see where he was. One second, ladies. One second. Hey, Nate, good morning. And Nate, can you hear me?
Okay, can you hear me, Russ?
Yeah, loud and clear, yeah. I have Jillian on with me this morning. I have Sally on with me this morning. So both of them are clairvoyant, and Sally has a website. Sally, what is your website?
Well, my website, basically my art is art by Sally Bernard, BARNARD.com. And I'm writing a book, Call Me Zena, which will be out in a couple of months.
And she's from England, as is Jillian.
Both are.
So I have two English ladies on, the two sophisticated English ladies on with me this morning. So are there any questions, anything you want me to get started with? Both of whom are clairvoyant. Sally's story, in a nutshell, in less than 10 seconds or 15 seconds, she was coached by somebody for the last 15 years, 18 years, if you will, so that she could be a spokesperson to talk about UFOs, alien abductions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you want me to start by, I know you have your people coming online here.
Yeah, people, I don't know why they're so slow. You know, we always start right on the right on the top of the hour.
Not a problem. Not a problem. Well,
okay.
Well, we can begin to talk. We were talking for the last half hour. They were kind of introducing themselves and talking about some issues that, you know, we address it each and every day about UFOs. So why don't I do this? Why don't I play a clip by David Icke, both of whom know David Icke. And have them make some comments, and then any persons who have some questions can begin to ask some questions. Is that a good way? Excuse me. Is that a good way to start it? Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead and get started. Like I said, we don't wait for people to come late. They miss it. It's their fault. It's not ours because we were here.
Okay. Not a problem.
And
David Icke, who also is from England. And who is a philosopher, the study of UFOs and the cabal and likewise a whole lot of things. You might want to go to YouTube and punch David Icke and see what he has to talk about from time to time. But here's a comment by David.
People think there's a past and there's the future. But it's only a now. There's only a now moment. Mm. And so that's very difficult for people to grasp at first because they think, well, I've been there and I'm going there. Well, but hold on a minute. When you're thinking of the past, where are you? You're in the now. When you're worrying about the future, where are you? You're in the now. And when what we call the future becomes an experience, it's experienced in the now. There's only the now. So time is an illusion too. Mm. But we use time so that we can operate within this reality. But again, it's part of the illusion. It's part of the reality that people think is real, but isn't. And you know, if you kind of think about it, if you are a tiny group of people deep in the shadows who understand the nature of reality, the illusory nature of reality, how people interact with reality, how perceptions of people become their experience, cause and effect, just think of the magnitude of power that gives you over the target population. Mm. This is why mainstream science is so controlled, so that it doesn't go down these roads. I mean, you know, you talk to most scientists, although quantum physics has shown this to be true, and they have to acknowledge quantum physics exists because it does, they crack on in their own disciplines as if quantum physics doesn't exist, as if the whole thing's bloody solid and real. Mm. I mean, you look at medicine. Medicine treats the body as if the body is a solid reality with the scalpel and the drug. But the body is just a decoded projection of waveform energetic fields. And if that energetic field is in harmony, the body has to be in harmony. It has to be healthy because the body that we see is just a holographic decoded projection of the waveform field of information. If that waveform field of information becomes disharmonious, which emotion can do, this is why stress causes illness, which fear can do, which anxiety can do, which radiation fields can do, which Wi-Fi can do, then that distortion of the waveform field of the body becomes expressed in the projection, decoded projection of what we call the physical body. And therefore we have dis-ease, disharmony, illness, which is why the alternative methods of healing going way, way back, whether it's acupuncture, all of it, focus on healing the waveform level of the body, the energetic level of the body, knowing that if that's right, this must be right.
Mm.
Because mainstream medicine, within this 5 cents postage stamp prison that it operates in, does not accept the waveform level of the body and only accepts this level, which it can see, touch, and taste, etc. What can it do but try to treat what it can see with the scalpel and the drug, which is why it causes such mayhem to the point where the biggest cause of death in America now is the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Staggering but true.
Okay, let's David Icke. David. Any comments about David Icke before I go to Jillian?
For myself, yes. He was. I'm going to say my second teacher. I've been listening to him many, many times. I think that he touched a tremendous amount. As you know, he's extremely well known. Obviously, he gives many, many concerts in places. I'm sure Jillian knows in Wembley. They're packed. His message is amazing. It's great, and I kind of find him very interesting. So I listen, and I still continue to listen to him today. Very, very credible. Very credible.
And for those people who never heard of him, you know, it's David D-A-V-I-D Icke, I-C-K-I-E. Jillian, you know David. You've been around him
yes,
a long
I
time.
Do.
Any comment on what he just has just said?
What he's talking about, the waveform theory, is obviously part of the strings and loops theory of quantum physics, and he's absolutely correct scientifically in that. My problem with David when he gets onto these things is that it's above, not wishing to sound patronizing to the population at large. Generally speaking, most people in the population are not familiar with things like Einstein's theory of relativity and quantum physics and strings and loop theories and so on. So when he starts out by saying things like, well, there's no such thing, everything is in the now, and it's not comprehensible for most people. Therefore, mm-hmm. it's not really very
yes,
helpful
right.
to them. I found mm-hmm. the most helpful thing to give people an idea of really the way things move along, especially in relation to time, for example, is that look in a mirror. Do you see yourself in the mirror in the now? And 99 people out of 100 people will say, yes, I'm looking at myself now. Well, you're not actually, because it takes nanoseconds for that image to go from the mirror through your eyes into your brain mm-hmm. and tell you what it is that you're looking at. Therefore, you are always looking. Your view of life is always in the past. It is never mm-hmm. in the instant moment that it's happening, because life is constantly in a process of change. So there is almost no way that you can actually know the moment of existence when it is existing. Everything is already becoming the next thing. Remember, George did have that thing, you know, I am a human being becoming, help me to become.
Yes.
And that really is a little saying that is so on the ball, because in every moment of our lives, we are becoming the next moment. Nothing is ever still. Everything is in a constant change, state of change, of motion, of movement. There's no such thing as standing still. Now, when you're mm-hmm. talking about past, present, and future, that's a perception that we have through linear time. And linear time is a requirement of a three-dimensional reality. We all know that. And those things are totally existing simultaneously, not in the now so much as you can say simultaneously, because it is perfectly possible to walk, if you're a master at it, which of course I am not, to walk out of the body you're in into a different kind of body and walk into a situation of history. For instance, you could walk in, you know, into the time of the fall of Rome or the time of Boadicea in England, or the signing of the Declaration in America. These all continue to exist in mm-hmm. the field, in the energetic field, even though they are past, and then of course right. you can also walk into the future. So to talk about it very simply, I think is more helpful to people. But yeah, I like David Icke, and what she's saying there is absolutely correct.
Okay, let me do one other clip, and then I will ask Nate something in a few minutes, because Nate has been dealing with quantum energy, with the limbic arc and all those things with his people for many, 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 many months here, years, I may say. But let me do just this one, and then I'll come right back to Nate and see what kind of comment he may have.
The consequences that you might have feared don't manifest because your interaction with the field is drawing to you what you need to achieve what you know to be right to happen. So we are creating our own reality all the time by our perception becoming our experience. It's why we need a revolution of perception. And this is why the cult works 24/7. Controlling the information that we receive, or the excuse for an education system that we are told it is, when it's an indoctrination machine, a perception programming machine, they are working all the time to hold our perceptual state in a low vibrational, low awareness, low self-identity state, because they know that if they can control our perception, they can control our experience. And we can take that control back whenever we choose. And when we do, people are going to be shocked at how their life will change and how all the consequences they thought would happen don't actually happen.
And okay, you know, this is exactly Dr. Ledwith's book. Remember last year when we talked so much about Dr. Ledwith's book, Saving Jesus?
Yes.
That's exactly what he is teaching you in that book. How to mm-hmm. change your life by changing your perception.
Sally, have you read the book?
Because I just want to say that I learned all this from Aldo too. He would explain the best that he could, and he did it very, very well for me. So I totally see what you're saying, Jillian, and I just see on this last episode what we just heard just now. But you know, not everybody has had privy to this, so we have to explain it easily, as you had mentioned.
Of course. I didn't want to. Because I thought it was apropos, since Nate has been dealing with this subject matter for a number of months because of the products that he's used to help people to stay healthy and get well. Nate, mm-hmm. do you have any comments on what that David Icke is saying, or Jillian or Sally is saying?
No, but I just want to announce to everybody, this is our Saturday call, which is an open mic call. So we are speaking with Russ and Jillian, and I couldn't hear the other lady's name.
Sally Barnhart.
Sally. Okay, so they're just on our open mic call today, so any interaction you might have, anything they talk about or say.
And they said
let me see who I can find who's speaking. Cause. Okay. Anybody that's on? Okay, maybe someone found it. Okay, we are doing open mic today, but we have three guests, and they started a conversation. So anything you want to participate in, just go ahead. So if you would, Russ, I just sure. stopped because I'm on the way back to Atlanta, and I've had a lot of interviews. I wanted to pull over so I could to pay attention to the call. But if you would, ask me that question again.
Okay. No, I was just saying that since you have been dealing with limbic arc and other kind of and the healing machine and all the other things, I don't know whether you did with the med bed or not, but you've been dealing with some of those modalities that get people healed mentally, psychologically, philosophically, if you will. So did you have any questions? That's all I ask, because I can always just go back to the UFO deal. But both of these ladies are well versed on the UFO phenomenon that the Pentagon has just released.
Right. Okay. Well, a lot of the things that we're dealing with in quantum energy leaps, you might say, the expansion of different devices and modalities that we're using, from different things that I've heard, some of it comes from the technology that was picked up from Area 51 and other interactions with people from other, well, I won't say people, you might say beings from other universes, from other planets or whatever. And I see that we're actually being released different technology very slowly. For example, the cell phone, which all of us love and use pretty much every day, which the radiation from it is very toxic to us, but in spite of that, we still use it every day. But I know people that were involved in the military and other places, they said they've been using cell phones of that technology for 50 plus years before that, you know, we were really introduced to it. And some of the theories that a lot of this technology is just being released that has been gathered from other beings from other places. Yeah, if you would, comment on that.
Okay. Jillian? Sally?
Yes, well, obviously this is quite true. I mean, most of this technology is at least 100 years old and known certainly since the Second World War, has been well known in this country and across the planet in many places. The Russians have or used to have what they call their secret city out in Siberia. And it was interesting because the niece of Khrushchev, anybody who's getting up in years like me will remember Khrushchev, his niece was a Russian movie star at the time, and she acted as the go-between her uncle Khrushchev and the extraterrestrials who were landing constantly in Siberia and sharing all these technologies with them. So that's why Russia is so far ahead of us. Even now, they're like 15, 20 years ahead of us in most technologies because they actually built a city for the extraterrestrials to land and live in while they were on the planet. And this was way back in 1900, 1920s. So this has been going on a long time. And, of course, the Germans at the time of Hitler, they got all their bomb technology, their rocket technology from the Pleiadians and are still advancing it down in Antarctica and in conjunction with the reptilians and with our army, not with our navy, but with our army out of the Pentagon. So this technology has been well known. But we also have a lot of technology on the planet, as I'm sure you're aware, that came out of the brainchilds of our own people. The human race are very curious and inventive people. And I remember the man back in the 1940s, I think it was, who made cars run on water. And one of the big oil companies bought the patent from him for a lot of money, but then they shelved it. It's still hiding away somewhere. So not all technology comes from foreigners. The humans on this planet do have quite a few brains themselves, and our sciences are pretty brilliant, and they don't all come from other planets.
For those people who maybe don't know the whole history of what she just said, because she said a mouthful, she's saying that different species of aliens have worked with the Germans to build spaceships back in the 1930s, right? And now they have gone to Antarctica, and they have a bases there, and they have a whole civilization and hundreds of thousands of people there working. Okay, but that's one thing that she said. The other thing she said, that inferred, if you will, that the United States has a lot of information about the crashes of spaceships and the technology that they back engineered and the whole nine yards of that. If you want to get some information about the specificity of what we just said, I would say go to a book by Michael Sellar talking about Antarctica. Michael, S-A-L-L-A, Michael Sellar. He talked about that whole German movement into Antarctica some 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago that it happened. The Germans did that before World War II ended. He documents all of that. He's a prolific writer, a fantastic researcher. So for the people who say this is so difficult to believe that that even was possible, it not only was possible, but it's a fact. Okay. The other piece I would say, go to Philip Corsico. Philip Corso, he was in charge of all the back engineering from 1947 of Roswell up until the time he passed a couple of years. And he has a book called, what's that, Roswell? Anyway, Philip.
I think it's just called Roswell.
No, it's another book. It's in my collection here. I just can't get to it right now. It's about something about Roswell. But anyway, it's Philip, and his last name, Corso. Google that, and the book will come up, and you can order the book. And for those who don't like to read, you can listen to the book on Amazon about the Roswell incident. And he documents all the things that he secretly did with another group called Majestic 12. I don't want to get too much information. It's so much information, but I'd like to just let Corso tell his own story for just a second, and any other questions we'll take right after the next minute.
But hidden beneath everything I did, at the center of a double life I led that no one knew about, and buried deep inside my job at the Pentagon, was a single file cabinet that I had inherited because of my intelligence background. That file held the Army's deepest and most closely guarded secret, the Roswell files. The cache of debris and information an Army retrieval team from the 509th Army Airfield pulled out of the wreckage of a flying disc that had crashed outside the town of Roswell in the New Mexico desert in the early morning darkness during the first week of July, 1947. The Roswell file was the legacy of what happened in the hours and days after the crash when the official government cover-up was put into place. As the military tried to figure out what it was that had crashed, where it had come from, and what its inhabitants' intentions were, a covert group was assembled under the leadership of the Director of Intelligence, Admiral Roscoe Hillencutter, to investigate the nature of the flying disks and collect all information about encounters with these phenomena while at the same time publicly and officially discounting the existence of all flying saucers.
And laughing at people who said they have seen flying saucers, and laughing at all the people, the whistleblowers, who have come forward to say it was true, be it David Wilcock or Corey Good or even Dr. Stephen Greer. Now, the book is The Day After Roswell. The Day After Roswell. I encourage people to go get the book. It's very factual. And information that 99% of the people on planet Earth don't know anything about or have a clue about what happened. So, but it's all been documented. And since the Pentagon's soft release, if you will, disclosure of a couple months ago, all of this is coming to the airwaves, coming to the fore. Sally, any comments on what we have just talked about?
No. I just find this whole thing fascinating, since I am a little bit part of this now because I've had my own experience. I'm so kind of used to a lot of information that's coming out. I can't get enough of wanting to read more about this because I have experienced so much in this. And I love it. I want to hear more,
okay.
Tell more people my own experiences. So that's where I'm at right now.
Okay. Jillian?
Well, we've talked about Roswell before, and you know that I don't know a great deal about it, Russell.
Oh, okay.
So I'd rather not comment. Say that's an excellent book.
Right, sure, certainly, certainly. But you do know about Michael Sella, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, could you comment?
Michael Sella is a brilliant researcher, yes.
Oh, okay. What else would you say about Michael Sella? I mean, he's a very prolific author. A dynamite
researcher.
Well,
one of his other most excellent books is that one you recommended to me, Russell, about Kennedy's Last Stand, it's called. And
absolutely,
that is an excellent, excellent book. It's not, these books that he writes are factual. They're American history, really, as well as global history in a sense. And they are very, very entertaining reading. They're not stuffy books at all. They're good reading, enjoyable. And that Kennedy's Last Stand goes into the death of, for instance, Marilyn Monroe in great detail. You get an awful lot of valid information that is well researched and well documented. But certainly my favorite to date is called History, The Secret History of Antarctica. And actually there are three books in that series. And they are all excellent. And they talk about the ongoing connection of the U.S. government with extraterrestrials since the end of World War II and the warnings from Eisenhower about the military-industrial complex, to which, of course, we can now add the pharmaceutical complex as well, because they pretty well control the world right now. So it's interesting reading. It gives you a lot of data that you possibly were not aware of before, well documented. It has photocopies of all kinds of documents signed by people like the president and the head of the CIA, Edgar J. Hoover. A lot of his documents are in there. And it tells the true history of what happened in World War II. It's a great, if you're a pacifist, if you're not interested in UFOs or aliens or any of that, but you are at heart a pacifist and are fed up with all the wars on this planet, these books are excellent reading. You would never go to war again if you read these books and saw the deceit of governments that went on behind the scenes to persuade you to go to war, to get you to go and fight somebody else. So I think that alone it makes these books worth reading, that they are good lessons for humanity.
Yeah, we have to become informed. We can't just sit in the dark and stick our heads in the sand, because something is coming. Disclosure, revelations coming to this planet, and it's coming fast and furious, and there's going to be a lot of disclosures, if you will. Even I mentioned
that when I used to talk to Aldo, and he used to talk about many subjects, but he used to say to me, go little by little. And to me, this is my advice too, because even for myself, although I'm informed now with quite a lot of different things, I only probably know a little. So we have to go little by little. That's my advice, because, you know, it's a completely new way of listening to everything. And Jillian, I love the way, just if you're still there, how you've explained everything. I love that. Thank you for that.
Speaking a little bit by a little bit, before I take any questions, and I'll open the mic here, because we've been talking for about half an hour, a little bit. I would suggest go to Gaia. It's a television program. You got Cosmic Connections, Disclosure, Gaia, Ancient Aliens. I mean, so many television, radio programs dealing with this, and even Corey Good and David Wilcock and all those people. But here's one by a guy, Corey Good.
To come up with a better term, it stands for military abductions. And really, my labs are, you know, if a person is abducted by a non-terrestrial and returned, the government will come and abduct them again to be debriefed on what the aliens picked them up for, and then they will be given a screen memory and put back in their daily lives. So that's usually what my lab means. It's been used a lot for these programs such as MK Ultra and a lot of the other Ultra programs. They lump it in under my lab, but what occurred was I was identified as an intuitive empath through standardized testing in public school. When I was identified as an intuitive empath, they then brought me into a so-called special school program that pulled me out of my regular school activities. And, you know, once to three times a week, I would be taken on field trips. And these field trips ended up at Carswell Air Force Base or other places similar that Air Force personnel, intelligence personnel were at, and they would put us through all types of training and virtual reality scenarios to build personality profiles on us. So they would know whether they wanted to draft us up into the secret space program or just have us work for these, I guess, loosely connected syndicates that we call the Cabal or the Illuminati.
Oh, wow. Now, that's a whole nother 10 hours of programming. But anyway, he did mention the Cabal and the Illuminati.
But you know what, Russell? There's an old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And that is so true. The first and most important thing that we need to get across to people is you have to be willing to set aside your preconceived notions of how things are and be open-minded enough to look at other possibilities. Because until people can do that, none of this is going to mean anything to them. They're never going to believe any of it. I don't care what they read or what they see or what they hear. Unless they can shelve their existing belief structures, if you like, they're not going to be able to open themselves up to these new ideas. And I think you would agree with that.
I will. I do. And I think that's one of the main reasons over the past 100 years that the government or those in control, one of the reasons, and other reasons, that they didn't want people to be upset, to be dissuaded, to be disturbed, cast asunder, if you will, because they say they couldn't handle it. And I go back just briefly, take 2 minutes, 1 minute, go back to 1938 when Orson Welles did a program on the radio right here in this country and called War of the Worlds. And people were not only upset, but they were aghast. I mean, they were taken back. They jumped out of windows. They were ready to commit suicide. They really couldn't handle that broadcast that he produced on NBC. I believe it was NBC, but you can punch that up. In 1938, that's Orson Welles. Any questions, any comments from anybody about all of this stuff?
Okay. Nobody's muted unless you muted yourself. So go ahead and just speak out. This is our open mic day, and we have three, you might say, guests that have been interacting and sharing information. So if you want to comment on that, ask a question, just go ahead and speak.
Okay. Anyway.
Jillian.
Yes. Yes.
This is Lavender. Yes.
Oh, hello. Lavender.
Hello, my dear. You know you're amongst family, so no one here thinks you guys are crazy, just to let you and your other friend that's there know. You're amongst long time family, and we love you guys. I was excited that you were on here live. I honestly thought he was playing a recording of you. So
I don't have recordings.
Yes. Yeah, so even though, like what you said, I got that lesson from you. We're talking in the future right now, Jillian Green. We are honored, girl.
Well, I love you guys. You're such fun people. And you have good questions usually. Is there anything you want to ask, Lavender?
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. I've just been thinking so much. Last night on Ancient Aliens, the topic was the reptilians. And talking about them being sighted coming out of like caves in Mount Shasta. Mount Shasta's in California. They have spent a lot of time at. And that's where they see a lot of Bigfoot. And I've smelled Bigfoot up there, literally, something like you're, and heard something and been like, oh, my God. And of course, you're scared to death, right? Because you hear the thing is like a big monster. But I love it up there. It's magical. You feel, you can't help but feel close to God in a place where nature is just Mother Nature is just right in your heart when you're there. It's incredible.
Yes. Well, Lavender, I can tell you a quick little story about that. I mm-hmm. once knew an Indian lady, Sapotni Ono, they called her, and she used to go. Her friend was one of the pipe bearers for the Indian nations, and they used to go every year to the Mount Shasta area and up into Oregon and go underground mm-hmm. foot, right? And Bigfoot mm-hmm. would lead them. And, you know, underground, there are all these tunnels and caves that crisscross the whole United States. And they yeah. used to go visiting there every year. And that's where they started from, was Mount Shasta. Now, I also want to say something about the reptilians. You mentioned reptilians coming out of caves. There are two kinds, to my knowledge, there are two reptilian-type beings on this planet. Right, there are the reptilian ones that live underground somehow. Now, I really don't have much personal knowledge about these beings. I've only been told about them, right? So I haven't seen them. But they are some race, small number race of beings who are actually left over from the time of the dinosaurs. And at the time of the dinosaurs, they were the upright, dominant, sentient species living on the planet, and when times changed, they went underground, and they are still there, and they are a reptilian type human species, quite different. In other words, they're harmless. They'd like their space back, but they're harmless. Quite different from what we usually mean when we say the reptilians, which are the really bad guys who work with the Germans in Antarctica, who've been invading our planet for centuries, thousands of years. They've been trying to get here, and it's only since the Industrial Revolution that they've actually made any real inroads on the surface of the planet. But they are the big space-faring species off planet that they are really bad news. So remember, there are two kinds of reptilians: the good guys and the really, really bad guys. You don't want to mix with the bad guys.
Okay. So two things that you observed about the reptilians. Number one, that they live for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and some people say more than 10,000 years they can live, okay? The other thing you say, that they live on underground in the inner earth. They live there. They've been living there for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Any questions of any of that she said, because it's difficult to believe. Some people think the world is flat, number one. Some people don't believe any of this, number two. So where are we? Any questions about the reptilians and who they are and what they look like? Okay. Is Sally, any comments about the reptilians?
Your speakers, I understand a lot of this, but I think I'm going to leave it to your two speakers. They're doing an amazing job. I learned a lot from Aldo. He talked to me a lot about this. He actually did say to me, and I think I mentioned that on the beginning of the show, that he was from inner earth originally, and he came to the surface. So that was very interesting from what they had just mentioned about inner earth. I knew about that, but he never really came forth and told me too much. So I'm just listening to the show right now. I find it very fascinating.
Well, let me go back to Jillian. Let's talk a little bit about the species that live in the Earth, the cores of the inner Earth, especially Dulce. Can you talk about Dulce, New Mexico, and what happened
there? No, Dulce is not inner Earth. Dulce is an underground facility built by the government, right, for the use of extraterrestrials, and it was used for abduction purposes. It was a huge medical experimental center. And when you went there, funny enough, it was kind of prosaic. You know, you think of things being very exotic when you talk about dealing with extraterrestrials. But actually, that place, when you went underground, it was just built of those, I think they call them the concrete blocks, you know, the square concrete blocks. So it was just concrete walls. And they had long hallways with hospital beds in, black hospital beds, where they put the people they'd abducted and they did their experimental work and treated them and so on and so forth. And there are many. Dulce is the only one that I really know about because of being there, right? But there are, I understand, many of them scattered about the planet, several dozen. of similar basis. I also heard a lady talking on this is a radio show I was doing years ago, and this lady was on at the same time as me, and her life work as a photographer, and she photographs on behalf of the government undersea installations of extraterrestrials. Now, to the best of my knowledge, those undersea or underwater installations are the Anunnaki installations, where they have which they inhabit themselves. The first one they built here was under Lake Titicaca in Peru, and they built that after the rest of them left the planet. They built that one down in Peru under Lake Titicaca. So these underground facilities are all over the planet, very, very, I want to say very common, and have been around at least for the last 5,000-6,000 years. The people who live in the inner earth, the Agartha, those I know next to nothing about, only just things that I have read in somebody's books. I am not in personal contact, nor had any personal experience with them. So I really don't know anything about that, Russell.
Okay, right. Let me do this. I want to make an announcement. I have a website. Well, your husband, George Green, has a website that people can go to. Your books are there. And that's www.nohoax.net. And there are a lot of things that George Green has left there. And your books are there if people want to order that. The Return of the Anunnaki, ETA, and the Chalice book. So I also want to talk about Sally. Sally has a website that she's doing a lot of things with. Sally, what is your website?
Well, actually, to go to, actually, it's on Facebook, but you can now get it on YouTube. It's called Call Me Zena, where I have done many programs. I have a call-in show every Monday. And it is recorded on YouTube and on my website too, which would be Call Me Zena, Z-E-N-A.
Okay.
It's not
so
my
website.
It's a Facebook page. Yeah.
And then I have done some programs with Zena. So if you go to Project Disclosure, or let's do it this one, Lights in the Night .net O-R-G, Lights in the Night .org. Then that's a website that has a lot of information there, a lot of people, Jillian's, a number of programs I've done with Jillian there, Sally is there, and other people, you know, Dr. Sellers there, and other people, Laura Eisenhower, whatever, it goes on and on, a lot of information on that site. I just also want to say that Dr. Greer, Stephen Greer, is doing a magnificent job. He's been out there for about 40 years or somewhere around that vicinity, researching all of this. And he has a big deal in Washington, D.C. coming up on June 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th with hundreds of people, top-notch people from all over the world coming to his event. And here's a comment by Dr. Greer, because he also has a website on if you go to the Disclosure Project, you will see Dr. Greer, the Disclosure
and
Project.
And they are, they have been, I know for a fact, been told what to say. And so they say, number one, first big lie, these are a threat to the national security, inferring that from outer space there's a threat. It's not true. If civilizations that are hundreds of thousands to millions of years more advanced than we are, if they were a threat, we'd be a charcoal floating through space about 1945 August with the atomic bomb. Number two, we'll get to that in a moment. Number two, they will say that we don't know what these are. Maybe they're from China. Maybe they're – and even senior members of the Senate Intelligence Community have said that. We don't know, because some of those guys have gone up there and whispered in their ear all this disinformation and spin. I know who they are. When in reality, we know what they are, where they come from, which ones are man-made and which ones are extraterrestrial. We absolutely have that data. But see, someone like myself saying that, that's going to get cut out of any show. For example, I was on a show, had 22 million people listening live back some years ago. And I started talking about some of the senior membership of this committee that's running this covert program. And I got to one name. You know, I talked about Admiral Bobby Ray Inman. He's been involved for decades in this. And then he went to the Board of Science Applications International Corporation, SAIC. It's one of the crown jewels of contracting on these exotic propulsion and energy systems. And then I think it was during the election, the second election for W, I mentioned that one of the most senior people is Dick Cheney. And we went to an unscheduled commercial break. A voice broke in, and the host had no idea. And it said, "Dr. Greer, change the direction of this conversation now, or we will dump this show live." I said, "With 22 million people listening?" He says, "Yes."
Wow, can you believe that? And he was offered at one point in the early stages of his research, again, over the last 35, 40 years, to stop collecting information, and we would give you $2 billion, as in B, billion dollars if you stop. And so anyway, I just wanted to, he has all that information, and if you go to this website, he has more information. He has his own podcast. So it's a lot of information out there that a lot of people, the average person happens not to be apprised of and is missing. And so that's the soft disclosure that's happening now with the Pentagon and the whistleblowers and all that's coming to fore. Listen, open mic, any questions on any of this? I know it sounds unbelievable to some, most people, but anyway, it's a big topic, a big discussion, and a lot of it's to come to the fore, yet to come to the fore, yet to become part of our reality, our consciousness. Anybody, any questions? Nate, anybody? Any comments from Jillian, Sally, anybody?
Right.
Okay.
But what I would like to comment on here is what I think is important, right? That although all this disclosure and extraterrestrials, UFOs, starships traveling through space is interesting and exciting and will draw the attention, I hope, of a lot of people and help to waken them up, I still would like to get back to basics. And this really ties in with what David Icke said earlier in the show, when he talked about the wave form, right, which is what we are. We are only a manifestation of that wave form. We are, in essence, spiritual beings. We are beings of spirit, and we have potentially eternal souls, right? And in all this excitement, I'm afraid that we forget that. The single most important thing, in my opinion, that we need to think about and realize is that the meaning behind all this is to remind us that we are potentially immortal beings and that all we have to do to claim our immortality is to work on ourselves as individuals at soul level. So all this that we're talking about is what is out there in what we perceive as existence, as our reality that contains all these beings, all these spaceships, everything else, and that, who knows, you know, the universe is going to last till the end of infinity, right? But in this universe, we are potentially immortal beings, and we need to pay attention to our soul as much as we need to pay attention to everything else that's happening. So that's really what's always the most important thing, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. So then you're saying that our purpose, our goals, objectives on a day-by-day basis, even though those of us who are just students on this planet called Earth, the outback of the universe, prison colony, if you will, should be working on developing ourselves because we are immortal and we don't die. They say, you die and go to hell or damnation. You say that's not true. Talk about that for us. Because Saving Jesus is the book that you recommend, but get away from that kind of thinking. Talk about that for us, please.
Oh, absolutely. The book called Saving Jesus by Dr. Michael Ledwith is a most excellent book. It basically is a rerun of what the Christ actually came to the planet to teach and what he did teach. It got totally rewritten and reorganized and messed up to fit the religions that were developed hundreds of years after he was on the planet, 600 years or more later. The church, the Catholic Church, decided essentially to rewrite what he taught. And so what Dr. Ledwith's book does is go back to the basics of the teachings of Jesus as they were given in the first century after he was literally here on the planet. And from chapter one, he's walking you through the process of those teachings, not in any pedantic or sermonizing kind of way. It's a page-turning book. It's very exciting reading, and you don't actually realize what's happening when you're reading it. But what is happening is that he is mentally walking through, taking your mind through the process of understanding what the Christ really taught. And what was Christ's message? Well, it was twofold. The first part of the message, which you never hear the churches tell you, is that if you don't do as he tells you, you will die. And he talks about death in terms of the way anything dies, dead, gone, done for, forever, finished, no longer existing. And that he says, follow my way and you can have eternal life, but if you don't do it, you will die, you'll be finished, right? The second thing and the most important thing he teaches is, and he tells you three times if you're a bibliophile, right, everything that I can do, you can do and more. You can all do it and more than he did. All the water to wine, all the miracles, everything, including the raising of the dead story, which was actually a story and not so much a reality. But it is about claiming your immortality, about taking yourself to that level of existence where when you want a physical body, you can manifest it for yourself and walk on the planet. And when you don't need that physical body, you can lay it down and walk right out of it and do something else. So this is the actual reality of eternal life. This is in the existence of the universe, they call the beings who can do this time lords. And surprisingly, considering how old the universe is, there aren't many of them, maybe five or 6,000 true time lords, Christ being one of them, beings who have exalted themselves to the level where they can walk in and out of bodies, the true immortals. Now, right now in our universe, there is a thing happening that happens every so many millennia, a very, very rare happening, where the central core of creation is flooding our universe with new light. Now, the difference between reality that you can exist in and non-reality is light and dark. The non-reality or the potential of the universe is dark. It has to become enlightened. The light has to reach it. And so every now and then, in order to maintain the universe, in order to keep the reality existing, the central core of our universe emits vast amounts of new light. And this is only every few millennia, very, very rare occurrence. And it's happening right now. We are living in this time of regeneration for our existence, for our universe. And that light is flowing out in great waves. It's neutralizing the negativity in the waveforms and allowing us to recreate ourselves, our creation, our whole universe is in this expansion and recreation mode as we speak. It's been continuing for some time now, for some years, and will continue for some years. It's a long, long process, but we're right in the middle of it now. It's bringing about all these changes. And for the individual who is open spiritually to the idea of immortality, now is the time to say, I claim, I as an eternal soul claim my immortality, and that light wave can flow into you and enlighten you. That's all you have to do. You don't have to read books or learn metaphysics or stand on your head or do anything else. You just have to claim your soul's immortality and be open to that light. Now, if you are a culturally unprepared person who has paid no attention to their soul for lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, you're really down at the bottom of the pile. When that light hits those people, it will simply drive them crazy. They won't be able to deal with it. Their behavior will be bizarre, and it simply drives them crazy, right? But for all normal people, you can receive instantaneous enlightenment through this willingness to set aside old and very often wrong belief structures based very often on lies and manipulations. Set those aside and open your mind to your potential, the potential of you as an eternal soul to become an immortal being, to have immortal conscious sentience existence, to have continuing consciousness, to never lose awareness. That is a tremendous thing, and it's yours for the taking. It's there for everybody, and I hope everybody will just reach out and grab it while the opportunity is here.
Again, the books that you have written, ETA, Chalice of the Dove, and Return of the Anunnaki, all can be found on nohoax.net. And your husband, who has crossed over after his research endeavors of 60 or 70 years, I mean, he was out there since the 60s, I mean, sorry, since the 50s, and I used to interview him a couple, 30 years ago on American Radio Networks back in 1992, but he's crossed over now. But George, in George's words, he would say it like this.
Exists right now and what we're creating. And it's not only the we, it's everybody else that's involved in their thought processes that is being coalesced from the creation in order to try to figure a way to come back out of this with the least destruction to the soul energy.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And the soul has to wake up and say, wait a minute, there's something above me. See, the ego keeps you back down to the me, I, and all that kind of stuff. We're all together. I love you all. We don't care. We're all one.
Absolutely. Any questions?
Absolutely.
Of anybody?
Beautiful. Jillian, it was a pleasure listening to you. I learned a lot today myself. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Nate, any questions, anything? I didn't want to keep you all day long.
Oh, okay. No, we had about, 2 minutes. So anybody that wants to make a comment, everybody's been kind of quiet today. At least Lavender kind of commented. But anybody else that has a comment, we got 2 minutes. So just come on in. Nobody's muted unless you muted yourself. So go ahead.
Nate, hi. This is Bernetta.
Yeah, Bernetta, go ahead.
Jillian, you and Russ, and you know, you guys are so special. I want to ask you, in order to really deal with the energies and everything that's around us, we see a scale called the Sofigio scale or Sofigio scale, that have 369 hertz and 639 and 936 and different hertz and tones. Do you think that they can really help us to deal with all of the negative tones and all of the things that's around us that can help us get through the chaos and the noise so that we can enjoy this amazing time? What do you think really helps people?
Come on. I tell you what, Loretta. I don't. I know there's lots of technology out there for balancing frequency fields, and you know you can put things in your home to prevent the television frequencies from damaging you so much and so on. But I think, and this is just me, right? Everybody has to do their own thing. But myself, I have just taken it for granted, absolutely taken it for granted, that if the Almighty wants me working on this planet, he's darn well going to keep me well enough to do the work. And if he doesn't want me here on the planet to do the work, well, then I don't care what I drop dead of, right? So that's just me, right? But at the same time, it is also a good idea to simply just automatically, mentally put white light around yourself. Just surround yourself with white light, with the pure love of creation, and make sure that you are putting out no thoughts, words, or deeds that are not coming from a place of love. You know, love is the glue that holds, unconditional love I'm talking about. Unconditional love is the glue that holds the entire universe together. I think Carl Sagan said it's as if there are hooks in the universe that keeps it all in balance. Well, those hooks are what we would call unconditional love, the basis of spirituality. And if everything that's going out from you is based on unconditional love of everything around you, then you are automatically neutralizing the ill effects of any of those negative frequencies that surround us. In other words, you're creating your own cocoon of good energy constantly. So the bad things, the bad frequencies, the bad things won't affect you. And if it gives you some comfort to have some technological thing that helps to balance the frequencies, by all means, go and use them. I'm not against them. I think I even have a piece of paper that I've written peace and harmony on, stuck under my water filter ever since I saw that movie Bleep, you know, because of what you see happening to water. Right. And I found that improves it greatly. So I'm not against anything that works. But I found for me the singlest thing that works is having faith that spirit will keep the necessary things in good order for me so long as they want me to work here. That's just the way I go.
So I have one more quick question. I'm sorry. I have one more quick question in case Nate is trying to close the call. What was the book about President Kennedy?
Oh, Kennedy's Last Stand by Dr. Michael Sala. That's S-A-L-L-A.
Excellent book. Excellent research.
Kennedy's Last Stand?
Yeah, by yes. Michael Sala, S-A-L-L-A. Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Sala. And you can get that on Amazon. You can buy the book, or you can even get the audio. I have both. So you can listen to it as you drive around, and you can read the book when you get a chance. Excellent.
Thank you, Jillian.
You're welcome.
Okay, if anybody else.
Back to Bernetta. Jillian was trying to ask if that completed Bernetta, and I leaped in. So, Bernetta, back to you.
That was a beautiful answer, Jillian. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, any other questions, any other comments? We're actually over the hour, but if anybody has a comment or question, this is a great opportunity to speak with Jillian and Sally.
Yeah.
Now, I'm in the car, so I couldn't write them down. Okay, go ahead. Lavender, if you would, I'm going to have to continue my journey. So if you want to, if you got time, you want to carry it on out, y'all continue the conversation. But I'm going to have to stop my background noise again, so I'm going to kind of back out. So if you can take it from here, go ahead.
Okay, really good.
Okay.
Well, we've been here in half an hour, I think. What hour? How long we've been here? An hour.
An hour and a half.
Yeah. We don't want to overwhelm you. You can't eat the elephant in one day. So,
I want to add something. I do want to add something. Sally, that's in the background. You said your show is Call Me Zena?
Yes.
Call Me Zena, yes. Z-E-N-A. It's every Monday. It's a call-in show at 3 o'clock on a Monday afternoon.
But she's on YouTube and iHeart.
Okay. It's televised
at the Brooklyn Cafe TV studio.
And the Google and the whole nine yards. And if you go to my website, if you go to lightsinthenight.org, you'll see a couple interviews that's placed there by her, if you will, if you want to see.
Yeah, it's also, yes.
Yeah, they're there.
Studio, so, right, yeah.
So you can go to that website and see her and listen to her.
Thank you. I want to call her Zena. Thank you, Zena.
Thank you. Okay, yes, that's what I was told to call myself, actually. My name is Sally. My guide.
I love
it. Thank you. Look forward to hearing you. Call in on my show. It's every Monday.
I will.
Around.
I will. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
So I think that, Jillian, you'll be here on Monday. I think we talked to Nate about being here on Monday, and you will talk about why we should all concentrate on our building our spirits and that 26,000 year run or rotation of the earth around whatever. So right on Monday.
Yes, whatever you want. We'll talk about whatever you like.
All right, anyway, it's a Saturday, people have things to do. Thank you very much for listening. And any last comments, Sally, any last comment for you?
Thank you very much for having me as your guest, and thank you, Jillian. I learned a lot today. I really loved your show. Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you, Nate, and I'll look forward to talking to you on Monday, I guess. Yes.
Okay. Any last questions, any last comments? No? Thank you very much.
We all look forward to them.
Everyone's having such a time.
Okay, let's see if anyone else is wanting to ask a question. Last call on any questions, everyone. Just step out. No one's unmuted.
That's all right. Thank you very much for listening then. And you guys have a good weekend. And let's all do some research and straight ahead in terms of developing our soul's energy. That's our goal, objective, and our purpose for being here on this planet called Earth. Thank you now. Have a good one now.
Beautiful, man, Russ.
The order.